What matters to you?
How are you going to work differently?
Are you having great conversations?
How can we support you to work differently?
It's all about people.
It's all about people.
It's all about people.
Hi, you're listening to the It's All About People podcast with me, Matt Evans, from the personalization team. Welcome back. Thanks for listening. I'm joined today by Katie Oates, who's going to tell us a little bit about her experience as a parent. Her son has got additional needs. Katie works in the system, so has got a bit more experience than some people do. And she's going to tell us why she's kind of at a point now where she's sort of compelled to start telling the story. And some of that will come from the differences in support that she maybe felt between child and adult services, but more so around how Katie feels she's been treated by professionals and ultimately how she wants to make things better. So stay with us, have a listen to this conversation, and hopefully when we get to some top tips, there'll be some takeaways that people can use in their own professional living. So anyway, that's enough of me queuing it up. Let's get Katie in. Katie, hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there, hi.
Would you like to just give us a quick, brief introduction to yourself and what you do?
So I'm Katie Oates. I'm a nurse for children in care. So I'm a children's nurse by background.
Brilliant. So you come in today, you're obviously armed with that experience of working the system. But actually what we're going to talk about today is more a lived experience, your role as mum.
Yeah. So I'm a mum. I've got two children actually. I've got a son who's I say he's 23, he's nearly 23, and a daughter who's 20. So my son is lovely. He's got additional needs, so I kind of work full time, but then I have a part-time job as well as being a carer.
Wow, you're a busy lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's plenty of people listening to this show that are parents. And, you know, like myself, my daughter this week has started the GCSEs, the dreaded exams. So you kind of go to work. Sometimes it's nice to be at work to get away from the dramas of being parents,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
So tell us a little bit more about your son and what his needs are like.
So he's got verbal dyspraxia. He's got a learning disability, and recently he's been diagnosed with autism. He also has different sort of health needs that kind of change, but currently he gets a lot of tonsillitis, and he needs to have his tonsils out, so we're waiting on that. So there's always lots of different appointments and things to arrange for him. Well, everything really. So it can, yeah. And also like helping him with any of his like PIP forms or job centre, dentist. So it's all sort of areas that he needs help with.
Yeah, and I suppose at 23, there's probably an expectation from others that he does his own forms, because most 23-year-olds do, and most 23-year-olds. Yes. Going to the job centre and getting the jobs and employment and cracking on, but mum, you're still supporting that.
Yes, and this is kind of where I'm at with this, because you're right. I hate the word normal, but you know somebody who didn't have additional needs, of course they would be ringing up the doctors, they'd be going to the job centre, they'd be doing all that, and they should be. Whereas he just needs that little bit of extra support. And, you know, but then you're also very mindful of the fact that, yeah, he should be able to do these things, but he can't, he needs help.
Mm. And that, obviously that puts pressure on you because, you know, you've got your own doctor's appointments and opticians or whatever else to sort out. But you've still got that responsibility as the carer to provide for him in that sense. And I guess, you must get to a point where you've been doing this for 23 years now, and surely it's got easier, hasn't it? Well, that was a leading question, wasn't it? I'm sorry,
yeah,
that's naughty, kid.
Yeah, no, this is what's led up to it, really, because I think when the children, it's accepted that parents help kids, and actually the professionals want you to help them, because you wouldn't want to send in a child into an appointment on their own, would you? Let's face it, it's not going to go very well. Whereas my point is, yeah, he's 23, but he still needs the same level of support that he needed when he was 14, 15. To me, it's not any different, but I completely get that he's an adult. So I get that he's an adult and that he's then got a mum. But yeah, and I think I think what I'm facing is when you ring up services to book, just to simply book appointments, you just get an awful lot of suspicion. And it becomes to a point where you feel like you're doing something really wrong. Like, it's like, you know, they're just like, well, he should be ringing. And I'm like, yeah, I know he should be ringing, but he can't. And it's just like when you've like had that conversation time after time after time, it just, yeah, it gets very draining, I would say.
So you must feel like almost Groundhog Day with this, do you? The way each time you ring, you're having to kind of explain again, yes, he's 23, but yes, he needs his mum to make the call.
And your heart kind of sinks. And then I get defensive because I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's happening again.
Right.
So it's not good. It's not good. And you like, I understand about safeguarding. I'm a children's nurse. I totally get safeguarding and why there's these things in place. But I don't understand how me phoning up to book an appointment causes such suspicion. It kind of came to a head when all I was doing was ringing up for an appointment. Well, I thought it was an appointment just to book him in to have his toe checked for an ingrowing toenail. Got this letter, ring up for an appointment. So it's like, oh, I'll ring up for an appointment. So I rung them up and it was like, oh, he needs to ring. I'm like, he can't ring. He's got additional needs. I help him. I do all his appointments. Oh, well, it doesn't say that on his notes. The doctor didn't put that on the referral form. Almost like I'm lying that I've made this up because it's not on the referral. It's like, it's not my fault it's not on the referral form. So then I'm like, well, he's got this and this, and that's why he needs my help. It took a lot of convincing for her. But then it's almost like, you go from that, because obviously I can be quite, not forceful, but assertive, that's the better word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can be quite assertive and be like, no, he can't ring. Cause sometimes they'll say things like, we need his mobile phone number. I'm like, there's no point in you having his mobile phone number. He wants me to do this for him and you're not going to get anything. He can't even say the word appointment. So it's like, it's a nonsense. So he wouldn't even be able to ring up and say, can I have an appointment, please? And so it just took a lot of like back and forth for me to say, he needs my help to do this and all I want to do is book an appointment. And then it's almost like it shifts from confidentiality to then almost like they then do too much confidentiality without him being involved. So they'll want more details because they're following their format of how they book somebody in and they need all this information. And then I'm thinking, but really, he needs to then answer this. So, like, that could be done in a face-to-face, for example, and then he could answer that. So when he has his toenail removed, this made me laugh because she was like, will he need somebody with him? So I said, yeah, he will. He'll need me with him. Oh, you can't possibly go in with him. There isn't any room for you in the rooms. The surgeon won't be happy. I was just like, okay, how is that in his best interest? How is that in his best interest that you just send him in? And I'm saying, but he'd be distressed because he'd need me to help him understand the information and he'd need me to hold his hand. Like, I'm not going to get in the way. I'm not going to get involved. And I know that when children have their toenails removed, there's no way you wouldn't have a parent in with them. You wouldn't send them in on their own, would you? And I'm like, what's the difference?
So you've shared with us a bit there. So there's something there around kind of the telephone call and that whole booking appointment. So that one-to-one interaction with the administrator, the secretary, the receptionist. There's then the form and the almost the procedure of following their template and going, I need to ask this question, this question, this question. And you're showing empathy that they've got to do that. But actually, but actually, it's not fit for purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, you've got the actual appointment where you kind of been told you can't come in with him.
But then why ask as well? Why ask? Why say, will he need someone in with him? Yeah. Oh, well, you can't possibly do that then. Just like, well, why ask me then?
Well, there's a question in that. And obviously they're not here to answer that question, are they? So we'd have to maybe get them on a podcast. But what I'm really kind of intrigued to kind of explore further is that these three particular examples you've given us, 23, so I'm doing maths on air, this is no good. So 6 years prior to that, as a 17-year-old, would that have been different? And obviously 10 years before that, 13, would that have been different?
I think when they reach 16, isn't it, often they say that they need to be responsible for their own healthcare. But I didn't really come across that.
Right.
I think up to 18, it was all fine and it was all accepted that Isaac needed help. So I never really noticed it until he was 18. And then even past 18, I think our GP, because they knew us, it was okay. But then it got to a point with the GP where they were like, no, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, but I've always done it. And then it was, well, he can, but you need he needs to fill out a form at the doctor's, which again I thought was a joke, because we went to the doctor's, they gave us a form, I filled it in because he couldn't fill it in, and it was like his name, address, who do you want to speak for you? So I filled it all in and then was like, sign this, and he did. And obviously I said to him what it was for. But if I'd have just said, sign this, he would have just signed it. But then everybody's happy then. It's on his record now and it doesn't happen. But I just think that consent's not fit for purpose either, because it wasn't really his consent. It was filling out a form that he then signed. But like I said, he didn't really know what he was signing. No. If you asked him, if you said to him, what, you know, who's this and what's she doing here, and he'd be like, it's my mum and I wanted to help me, that'd be it.
So sorry to kind of go back to the point, but almost I'm looking, is there a cliff edge moment where like at 17 years old, 364 days, you don't have all these kind of feelings brought out of you, because actually you ring the GP practice and you book in, no problem. But actually 24 hours later you ring and it's a different form.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of experience you've had though? I mean, you sort of alluded to the GP knew you, so you kind of got away with it?
Probably got away with it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, probably other services is like, no, he needs to sort this, he needs to do this. Like, but he can't.
Yeah. So what's it been like, obviously, over the last 23 years? Has there been a real difference in the way that you've been looked after as mum the carer by children's services to then changes when he becomes an adult? Or is there sort of similarities across it?
Sorry, my computer's just logged out. Right, I'm back on.
Oh, talking to you without you being there. Oh.
Sorry, say again, what was the question?
Yeah, no, I'm really kind of interested in that. What's the difference being like for you, you know, as a carer of somebody within children's services? Is that different to what you've experienced as a carer within the adult services type world? You know, is it different, or is there a bit of continuity between the two?
It is. Initially, it's different. Initially, it's you're just part of it, and you know, like, it's accepted, and they want your help in children, when they're children, they want you to be involved and supporting and communicating. And then it's almost like it is just like suspicion. Why? Mm. Why are you wanting to be involved in this? He should be doing this himself. And and then once you explain and you go through the spiel and blah blah blah, then because the whole point is, if he turned up to an appointment, they would soon be asking for me in there.
Really?
And that's what I feel like. If he turned up, you wouldn't get much. You'd soon be like, no, where's your mum?
Yeah.
And the whole point.
And that's where, from a personalization point of view, you know, you're the expert in the person you're caring for because you're with them all the time. You're there around them. And actually the medical expert is only with them for that 10-minute appointment, isn't it? So you're bringing all that experience where you can go, I can save us a lot of time here by saying, if I'm here, this is going to help.
But then sometimes it almost swings too much in that then they almost cut him out.
Right.
And then they'll just talk to me. Not everybody, but sometimes. And it's like, you know, you still need to listen. He can speak. It's just it can be unclear to strangers. But if you ask him a direct question, he can answer. And that's kind of like, I'm at the point where I just want to, the ringing up has to be me. There's no way he can do that. And that's not being negative. It's just realistic. Mm. So the ringing up, it has to be me. But face to face, I need to be there to help him. But it should be a bit more maybe about him.
So we like a positive story. Tell us what it looks and feels like when it's done well.
So I met this really lovely GP. Like, she was just, I've got two examples actually. Don't let me forget the second one, because the second one's a telephone one. And they said, like, this really lovely GP. You know, I know GPs don't have a lot of time, they're stretched and they're busy, but she spent so long with us and really listened and was interested as well. So she was even interested in my son's activities, like he's really into films. She was even asking him about that, and just really positive. But not only that, she followed it through, so that continuity of care. She was interested and wanted to follow it up, because so many times we go to the doctors, you see one doctor and then you go another time, you see another. She wanted to do like blood tests, but then she was like, we'll talk after. So yeah, she was just fantastic and just really listened, you know.
I mean, I've heard you say listen several times there, and that's obviously important to you, which is great. Yeah. We all like to be listened to, don't we? I'm hoping people on the podcast like listening to us. But I'm thinking as well what it looks like. So when the GP's talking to you, son, what does she do? Like, I'm leading you here. I'll stop. I'll say, yeah, what does that look like? You're obviously in the consultation room.
Well, he's directing questions at him and looking at him rather than looking at me, because that happens a lot. Like, oh, Isaac, what about that? They're looking at me. Yeah. I suppose it's looking at him, but also just interested in him. And accepting that it might take him a bit of warming up as well. So talking about, I know this is in an ideal world, isn't it? They haven't got time to talk about interests. I totally get that. But that kind of thing does make a difference.
Well, this GP's made time to ask about the films. So yeah. it might not be the normal behaviour of a GP, but we've already said earlier, we don't like normal, do we? So
it
can... Clearly, it can be done in some way. So let's just reflect on that. A bit of sort of looking at your son, and actually when she's talking to him, she looks at him, directs questions, shows an interest, and then is clearly actively listening to the responses that he gives and you give.
Yeah, and I suppose asking him first, because then I can chip in if there's bits he's missed out.
Right, but so it's almost, giving him the lead.
Yeah, because it needs to be his voice, not mine.
Yeah.
Because I don't, and this is the whole thing. I don't want to take anything away from him. Because I've had people say, oh, go for power of attorney, and it's like, but I don't want to override his wishes and feelings. all I want to do is support him to make his own choices about his health. Yeah, he listens to me. Also, he knows I'm a nurse. He's like, oh, my mum's a nurse. Mm. So he does listen to me and takes on board what I say. But ultimately, I just want to support him to make good choices for himself. I don't want to override his wishes and feelings, but it's his voice is the most important thing. Not even my gobby voice. It's you know, it's his voice that needs to be heard, and that's crucial.
Yeah, and I think your passion for that is coming out. You know, you mentioned power of attorney there, and I've not forgotten. We need to go back to that second example on the telephone, but that kind of power of attorney bit that seems. You know, forgive me for my lack of knowledge on this, but that almost feels like when people talk about that, that's kind of like the final stage of almost taking control. And you're probably in a phase before that, aren't you, where you're encouraging him to keep in as much control as he can and almost putting that off. Is that right?
Because I feel like he's got mental capacity, and that's what it's about, isn't it? He has capacity to make his own choices. He doesn't lack it for me to be like, no, you need to do this. He just needs a bit of extra. He just needs those adjustments.
Reasonable adjustments.
That's the word, yeah, because I did the Oliver McGowan training, and I was like, they're saying that you're supposed to make reasonable adjustments, and they're not.
No, and I think that's where if we could put people in boxes and we go, all right, you fit in that box, or here's the script and here's what you get. But we know from our work and obviously the personalization program, that's what we're all about, is not putting people in boxes. Your son's kind of in that phase between, isn't he? You know, like you said earlier, it's almost like he needs the same support that the 15-year-old would need. Because actually, yeah, if I'm going to have my toe operated on, I do want my mum there just to look at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm nearly 40 and I still think, mum,
yeah,
I don't like
the
idea.
Yeah, I probably would, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay. Give me the second example then.
So this one was so simple and it made such a difference. I got the letter to ring up. I can't remember what it was for now. Oh, to book in a pre-assessment, I think, for his tonsils. Rung them up and said, brace yourself, right? I'll do it. Rung up. Hi, book appointment, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, oh, can I just ask, why are you phoning? And it was such a shift. That's literally all she said. And I was just like, because I was ready for a fight. And I was just like, oh, because, yeah, I know he's an adult, but, you know, I'm his carer and he's got additional needs and blah, blah, blah. And that was it. She went, oh, that's fine then. I'll put that on his record. I was like, oh, okay. That's literally all it was.
You see, something we're very passionate about is that relationship between people and the system. So you as a person accessing the system, you shared with Zen, you were up for a fight, you were ready. That ain't really where we want Joe Public, is it? We don't want people to be in that mindset when they ring. But the way that person's diffused you with just one simple question.
Yeah.
I guess the question's good, but the way that she accepts your answer is also good to be able to... Yeah. Allow you to feel heard and go, oh, okay, I'll pop that on the notes. And
what I came up from that was, I think it needs to be curiosity rather than suspicion. It's the suspicion that gets my back up. It's when they're sort of implying that you're doing something to harm him. But when they're just curious, just wondering, I'm like, oh, that's okay then. Yeah, you're right to wonder. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
Do you think they're almost judging you by the worst case examples that they know of or have heard or been trained about?
Yeah, and I totally get that. Like I said about, I totally get that there's people out there that are harming. But all I'm doing is trying to book an appointment. That's the thing. Wait till you see him.
Wait till you see him
and then you can ask these other questions or whatever. Yeah.
And if we spend our life judging everybody by the worst case scenario, it's gonna be a very bleak and dark place to live, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can understand why you'd get your back up. Yeah. Okay. So my last sort of question for you really is, what brings you now to this point of thinking, I just need to go on a podcast or I need to tell the story? what's the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think it was last year. I'll be really honest, I was having a really rubbish year, and everything was kind of going wrong. And then it was just like, and then that was just like the final straw. And then I put up, I don't ever do this, I put up a Facebook post, basically asking for advice of, you know, has anybody else experienced this? You know, is it just me being sensitive? And I got so much response from it. And what was really interesting was people in similar situations to me with adult children.
You've just done the bunny ears on a podcast. No, nobody understands that. That doesn't come across. So, yeah, what do they call them? What's the proper term?
Adults.
Inverted commas.
Yeah, but adults with additional needs, basically.
Yeah.
And they were all saying similar things, and they were from different parts of the country. So I actually think that this happens a lot. And I think that if you haven't got your wits about you, and, you know, like, I can speak up for him, and this other, I'm just think other people are vulnerable and might just accept it, and then that meant then he's a barrier to health, or not just health but any aspect that they could, it could stop them getting the help that they need. So that's where I thought, where I'm like, no, enough's enough, because I wouldn't normally do something like this. I just thought, no, enough's enough, it's time to speak up, because it's not right, and it's people shouldn't be made to feel like they're doing something really terrible when all they're doing is trying to help somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that whole sense of goodwill and trying to do your best, which, let's be right, anybody who's a parent, all you want to do is do what's best for your kids.
Yeah.
And sometimes it blinds us, doesn't it? And makes us do and say silly things. And sometimes it gets us to a point where we're thinking, no, this has got to be better. And yeah, whether it's a poorly toe or some tonsils, or preparing for GCSEs and revision or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it is, as a parent, you just want what's best for your kids. Nine times out of ten, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I know it's not always like that, but majority people are just trying to do the best, aren't they, and make their way through life.
Absolutely. And wouldn't it be nice if we all just helped each other try and make the best?
Yeah.
So let me summarise some of the things we talked about, because I think there's three clear sort of issues and topics to think about. So the processes that we have within health and care, and any colleagues listening, thinking like the phone calls, the forms that need filling in, and then the actual appointment, how we make reasonable adjustments to those things so that, using your example with the telephone call, actually just accept it, because you're going to see them face to face. And at that point, you can probably find out the information you need. But actually, just to make an appointment, let's make that as painless as possible. Right the way through to then reasonable adjustments for being able to be there if there's an operation going on, and etc. Like you would for a child in children's services.
Yeah.
It needs that reasonable adjustment. So that stuck out for me. There's then this bit about curiosity versus suspicion. And can we be curious, and can we ask questions in a curious way to get the answer we need, rather than being suspicious and treating everybody like the worst case scenario, because not everybody is the worst case scenario.
So that's
kind of what I've picked up there. And then sort of finally, I'm thinking around that bit around we want things to be better, it's coming from a good place, but actually in the caring role like you've got your own life, your own baggage, your two jobs, your own health that you are managing. So you carry that with you, and you're trying to support somebody else as well. And actually, we just need to be mindful of that, don't we? That when we're talking to you, we're not just talking to you about your son, but we've got you in there as well, and the person that you are and the things that you carry with you.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Have I managed to summarize that?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Casey, I've really enjoyed talking to you. I really like the way that you are smiling. I don't know if people but they'll hear your smile, I'm sure. I love the fact that you feel motivated, that you want to share the story, and you want to ask questions and get people thinking, is there a better way of doing this? Because that's definitely what we're about. So good luck with it. Good luck with the birthday celebrations that are due, and the toenail and the tonsils, because toenails and tonsils is making me feel a little bit. But yeah, so thank you for joining us. You're free to say goodbye. What I would normally do now is do a plug for the next one, which we've got some cracking guests coming on. And Katie, I'm sure you'll be listening in as a listener now. We'll convert you.
Oh, yeah.
But Katie and Alison have both threatened to steal the microphone back. And they've got some talks around health coaching and the services that are available in Lincolnshire. And Alison's got some more workforce-y stuff to talk about. So interesting topics and not just my voice. So stay tuned for that. Anyway. Thank you, Katie. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope it's not been too bad for you. And we'll see you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Cheers for listening. Bye for now.